"Twins?" the nurse asked. The doctor, who had allowed himself to relax after the boy was born, felt shaky now, and he did not trust himself to do more than nod.
"Steady," he told himself as the next head crowned. "You are anywhere," he thought, watching from some fine point on the ceiling as his hands worked with method and precision. "This is any birth."
This baby was smaller and came easily, sliding so quickly into his gloved hands that he leaned forward, using his chest to make sure it did not fall.
"It's a girl," he said,
and cradled her like a football, face down, tapping her back until she cried out. Then he turned her over to see her face. Creamy white vernix whorled in her delicate skin, and she was slippery with amniotic fluid and traces of blood. The blue eyes were cloudy, the hair jet black, but he barely noticed all of this. What he was looking at were the unmistakable features, the eyes turned up as if with laughter, the epicanthal fold across their lids, the flattened nose. "A classic case," he remembered his professor saying as they examined a similar child years ago. "A mongoloid. Do you know what that means?" And the doctor, dutiful, had recited the symptoms he'd memorized from the text. Flaccid muscle tone, delayed growth and mental development, possible heart complications, early death. The professor had nodded, placing his stethoscope on the baby's smooth, bare chest.
"Poor kid. There's nothing they can do except try to keep him clean. They ought to spare themselves and send him to a home."
The doctor had felt transported back in time. His sister had been born with a heart defect and had grown very slowly, her breath catching and coming in little gasps whenever she tried to run. For many years, until the first trip to the clinic in Morgantown, they had not known what was the matter. Then they knew, and there was nothing they could do. All his mother's attention had gone to her, and yet she had died when she was 12 years old. The doctor had been 16, already living in town to attend high school, already on his way to Pittsburgh in medical school and the life he was living now. Still, he remembered the depth and endurance of his mother's grief, the way she walked uphill to the grave every morning, her arms folded against whatever weather she encountered. The nurse stood beside him and studied the baby. "I'm sorry, doctor," she said. He held the infant, forgetting what he ought to do next. Her tiny hands were perfect, but the gap between her big toes and the others, that was there, like a missing tooth. And when he looked deeply at her eyes, he saw the brush field spots, as tiny and distinct as flecks of snow in the irises. He imagined her heart, the size of a plum and very possibly defective, and he thought of the nursery, so carefully painted with its soft animals and single crib.